You are listening to KPOO San Francisco 89.5 FM. You have reached Reality Sandwich. I'm Julie Matthews, a certified nutrition consultant with Healthful Living. And I'm with my co-host,
Martin Matthews. I'm a certified clinical and medical hypnotherapist and advocate for Healthful Living with Healthful Living. You can read more about Julie and I at healthfulliving.org.
And you can listen to this show and all past shows on realitysandwichradio.com. So today we are here with a wonderful guest and friend of ours, Dr. John Hicks and Betsy Hicks from Pathways Medical and Holistic Health Center. Dr. Hicks has been for over 30 years dedicated to the practice of medicine, specializing in finding solutions for common and acute chronic illnesses. Combining medicine and holistic treatments, Dr. Hicks does ongoing research, lectures, and attends national conferences in order to share his findings and innovative approaches with his patients and the medical community. And Betsy Hicks is the co-founder and a diet counselor at Pathways, and she is hailed as one of the most innovative teachers on achieving whole body wellness through diet and nutrition. She is an author, radio host herself, and video anchor. She serves as the Pathways diet counselor, public education coordinator, and oversees the practices of day-to-day operations. And she is the mother of a son with autism and speaks internationally on holistic interventions for children with disabilities. And I had the pleasure of meeting both of them at the last Autism One conference and also working very closely with Betsy on a culinary day where we had just a load of fun. So we are going to be speaking about a really exciting topic to all of us today, which is the concept of energy medicine, vibrational medicine, and some of the light topics of quantum physics and DNA activation and energy, cellular memory, I suppose. So all of those very, very fun, exciting topics. So let's see if we can get the two of them on the line. Are you here?
Yes. Hello. How are you?
Great. We're great. Great to have you on.
Thank you. You have to add to my list of things that I do is I'm president of the Dr. John Hicks fan club.
Very good. We'll add that. Do you have a fan club website yet?
No, I just like to be along for the ride so I can toot his horn because he won't.
I can relate. So maybe we can just start with a few of the basics. You're a medical doctor, and I'm just interested in finding out where was your entry into all of this medicine stuff, and what was the beginning of your career like?
I was very traditionally trained at University of Louisville in Kentucky, and my grandfather had been a doctor, had an uncle and cousin that were doctors, so it was one of those things that, I guess, that some things run in families. So my desire was to really help, and that's really always been sort of where I've come from. So I went through medical school. I did the traditional thing, did a residency, got board certified, was practicing regular medicine. And along the way, in the first 5 or 6 years, I sort of realized that I wasn't really making anybody better. I could handle acute situations, and that's really what I had been trained for, and that's what really all medical doctors are trained for, is handling acute illness. But when it comes to looking at chronic things or ongoing things and figuring out why they're really happening, that's really not what medicine taught me to do at all. And to ask the question why. So I used to get in trouble because I would start asking, well, why is this? You know, we're doing that, but why? You know, why is their body doing that? So one of the first things about 25 years or so ago, I figured out kids with ear infections, the big issue was dairy. And if you just took them off of dairy, most of their ear infections went away. So it was like, okay, now I found out why that is. So, you know, you keep asking that question and going deeper and deeper. So along the way, I met a tremendous woman who's a medical intuitive and knows supplements and knows a lot about holistic health. And she and I teamed up and we started working together, and I started learning a lot of different things and reading different things and really getting into the whole energy side, because we all are energy. So essentially everything that affects us is through energy and how it interacts with our body and how we interact with that. So that's been the process over the last probably 7 years or so.
Can you explain to some people out there, what do you mean? What are some examples of the difference between an acute illness that medicine is good at versus a chronic illness that they're not so great at?
All right. If you get in a car wreck, you're going to need acute care. You're going to have broken bones. You're going to have bruises. You're going to have those things. So from that standpoint, if you've got lacerations, you need it sewn up and all of that. So that's really where American medicine is outstanding. However, if you have diabetes, or you have asthma, or you have MS, or you have any of the chronic diseases, we're not so good at that because we really haven't looked at, we can suppress the symptoms. You know, somebody with MS, they're going to be on high-dose steroids, they're going to be on a lot of stuff. And what that's doing is just knocking out your immune system. It's not helping it. It isn't figuring out why it's gone wrong.
Hmm.
And what you need to do to really address those issues is you've got to figure out why, and then you address that, and the rest of it starts to fall into place.
Hmm.
So it's figuring out, you know, why did this happen? I was talking to a lady today. Her mom has MS. And we looked at her DNA for her immune and detox systems, and she has some huge issues. Well, the idea is we now know that we're 30 years, you know, ahead of where her mom was. She was already starting down that road of what the symptoms her mom had 30 years ago.
Mm.
So essentially what we've started to do is look at, well, what are her systems that aren't working right? How do we address those issues to prevent that from happening? And you can do that.
And you're speaking here of actually using DNA testing. So we're using, of course, science to understand maybe what's going on with the DNA. And then I'm assuming we can also use our understanding of biochemistry and
right.
figure out what those systems are. So to me, this sounds very what you might expect to learn in science or in medicine, which is about the DNA, about the pathways, about what's broken, about the biochemistry, how to fix it. Are these things that you learned when you were in medical school?
No. No, these are not things I learned in medical school. The biochemistry pieces I learned in pre-med.
Hmm.
You did a little biochemistry in medical school, but not that much. Really, when you look at the big pieces we learned, it was anatomy, which is important. Physiology, so you start to learn how things work. And then probably the biggest thing was in medications. You know, when you've got this symptom, you know, when you have a diabetic, then you're going to have to balance insulin, you're going to do all these things. So you learn how to handle those acute things. Somebody comes in a coma, you know, what are the things you do? Well, we're very good at that. We know what to do.
Hmm.
But the question is, that person with diabetes, what are the pieces that, number one, got them there? And what are the pieces that now you can go back and say, what can I do about this? And then for other family members, how do we prevent that from happening?
Hmm. It seems strange to me that we take some of the smartest people in the world, doctors, and yet we don't teach them any of this stuff. It doesn't seem to really complete the picture of what I would consider the whole picture of what medicine, I would ideally hope, should do, which would be to understand those really valuable pieces. I don't know if I have a question about that.
Well, I think part of the pieces are medicine. When I was in medical school, they told us when we graduated we would be 20 years behind. Mm-hmm. You're already 20 years behind because medicine is so big, it changes so slowly that what they learn in school is outdated by the time you learn it because of the research that's going on.
Hmm.
So what happens is medicine, what they learn in school, changes, but it's very gradually. And in 20 years, they'll probably be learning a lot of the stuff that I do now. They'll be learning that and going, oh, well, we could have done that. Yeah, you could have done that.
If I could interject, too, you know, I think a lot of it, Julie, and the problem with so much of society in general is how fear-based we are and how respectful of this authority that, be it political authority or religious authority or even medical authority, we're taught to not question it. And so many people will say, you know, I know there's more to it, but I really just don't get it. But yet they don't ask the questions because they just don't feel safe going there. And that's even in our practice. It's how far can we take you? You know, how far are you ready to go? Are you ready to really look into where this is coming from? Because, you know, John's speaking very, actually, almost in a, what you're saying, everything is nothing that out of the box of what he's saying right now. This is all mainstream things that are happening in alternative medicine everywhere. But I think where he excels and where, you know, he probably might want to discuss more is, take it above that. So you go back to the basic. You got your DNA. You look at the DNA. You get the body functioning. But what goes on even beyond that, John? And that's, I think, something that you might want to touch on.
Oh, and then you can start to go into the energetic pieces of why is your DNA the way it is? And I think part of that is it's all energetics, and it's all partly our intention, partly what we expect, because the law of attraction does work. And if we, you know, if somebody in our family has something, we go, oh, I'm going to get that, you're going to get it. So, I mean, you have brought that to you.
So there's, let's say, three stages here. There's medicine, which let's say is 20 years behind, and then there's what we have today, which is all of this new knowledge that I'm not sure if you call it functional medicine or biomedical approaches or whatever, this understanding of all of this science that we do understand and applying it in a way that hasn't been applied in medicine. That's sort of where, I guess, where the knowledge is today and where some people are practicing medicine. And then it sounds like there's sort of step three, which is now we're going out into the future, an area where there's some study, there's some research, there's some understanding, but definitely getting into the energetics piece of it is a little more of a stretch for some people than understanding that biochemistry can affect these chronic illnesses and we can work that way. So let's get into the exciting, juicy part of the subject, which we all love, which is, let's talk about this energetic piece. And,
okay,
you know, it's nice that since you are a doctor, we understand that you are smart and you do have critical thinking skills. So let's bring some of those in for people that might think this is strange or woo-woo or something like that.
And let's also clarify that for sure. We're stepping out here into a broader realm of holistic, alternative, really everything that we as human beings need to take in and comprehend as to how it is that we can be healthy and how it is that we can heal ourselves.
Yeah.
And as you were mentioning earlier, Betsy, unfortunately, we've become into a world where a societal default now, because so many people are in fear or indoctrinated to trust by default the authorities, we have externalized responsibility for our well-being to others who we believe have the expertise. And what we're clearly learning is that paradigm, that way of being, is not really serving us as individuals, and it's not serving us as a collective society. So we must open our minds to broadly understand, you know, what's causing illness, whether it's, you know, external factors or internal factors, and how can we take in as much information as possible to educate those that are helping us, including and primarily ourselves, to be on a path towards healing.
That's very well said. And you know, too, if I may add, Martin, as the president of the Dr. John Hicks Fan Club, you've got to know, when you and Julie met John, he doesn't look like a woo-woo guy.
No.
You wouldn't look at him and say, I bet that guy is just really far out there. And the reason I bring that up, especially since we're doing radio today, is that, you know, there is an explanation for everything that he that he works with. And it's not far. It's not far out there. It's really just opening your mind to believing things other than you've been really conditioned to believe.
Yes, and when you start to open your mind to these subjects, you meet all of these other people that also are interested in this. And interestingly, these are not people that sit around on yoga retreats or, you know, smoking some herbs or what have you. But these are some of the really smartest, brightest people that I know, with really fascinating discussions that just are beyond what kind of, I guess, most people are thinking of. So we'll just kind of paint that background a little bit. And
well, you look at the bioenergetic pieces that are really starting to fall into place, and these are being done by engineers.
Mm.
These are not being done by medical doctors, because medical doctors really don't want any of this. This isn't where they feel, you know, they have a grip at all,
mm-hmm.
because it now takes it out of their control.
Ooh, that's a really,
and
really...
it really gives it back to the person.
Mm.
Right.
See, you know, you're talking that we've been trained, we've been indoctrinated. You know, we have had things taken away where we need someone else. And when the reality is we are one with Source who made us, and when you know that and you believe that, anything is possible.
Mm,
anything.
Mm. So let's talk about, there are, like you said, scientists and scientific study that's going on that's now linking this world of energy medicine to actual scientific things that we have learned about recently. So can you talk about some of that?
All right. So one of probably the best books that sort of gets into the basics and lets you sort of get a grip on it is called Conscious Acts of Creation. And the head writer on that is Dr. Tiller. And he was in What the Bleep Do We Know and the follow-up to that.
And he's not too far from...
And he is at Stanford.
Yeah.
Right. And essentially, the studies they showed is that you can imprint devices with intention. And that's just what it was, intention. And we're going to change the pH of this. We're going to make it go up one or down one. And they did these studies, and they showed it worked. Then they did studies where they could increase an enzyme which decreased the time it took a fruit fly to become an adult. Usually it takes about 10 to 12 days. And by increasing this enzyme called NADPH, they shortened it to 7 days.
It's
through intention.
In one of those studies, John, if I can just elucidate briefly, they took a group of people, and it was a blind study, and they each gave them the exact same components to make a box that was going to create either alkaline or acid or acidic water. And all the components were exactly the same, but one group was intending to make a box that would produce alkaline water. Another group was intending to make a box that was creating acid water. But all the ingredients were exactly the same, and sure enough, the groups with the same exact input created two different boxes with two different water outputs based on what they were, I guess, energetically
infusing.
Well, it's
what your intention is.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start thinking about intention, and you think about the neat thing about that is water, and we're 70% water. So when you look at the stuff that Emoto's done with water, you write a word, you say a word, you put it by something, the crystals change. It affects that water. It carries messages. So if we're 70% water and we're sitting there telling ourselves we're stupid, what is that doing to every cell in your body?
Mm.
What is that message? How is that affecting how that cell works? So your personal inner conversations, your thoughts, your intentions, they all affect how we work. And as we start energetically looking at patients and going, well, you know, here's sort of a setup. We need to change this, because essentially with your intention and what you're saying, you're asking for what you're getting. So we have to go and we have to release that and we have to change that.
Hmm. What other components, and I don't know if this is too big of a topic to get into, but there is a whole field of scientific study on quantum physics, and I'm curious if you can just describe that for people and how that it fits into this.
Well, in quantum physics, essentially what it says is that we are all one. Everything is interconnected. If you take a molecule and you split it in half, and you have one part of that molecule here and the other part of that molecule in Mars, the one here is a positive charge and it changed to negative instantaneously. The one on Mars changes from negative to positive. So there is no time lapse. There is no distance. Time is man-made. So in this fabric that this universe is made up of, anything that happens to one person happens to us all.
Mm-hmm.
So as we work, as our bodies work, as illnesses, that this is sort of how things start to spread. That, you know, somebody gets this idea, somebody else gets the idea at the same time. Well, how did that happen? Well, it was meant to be there, and there are those who are tuned in and they pick it up.
So I'm going to throw a softball here that when we get into, quote, flu season, or when we hear about these pandemics that are around, I'm assuming that is going to influence the number of people that see it, experience it, have it show up in their life, get sick from it.
Yeah, if you think you're going to get it, you're going to get it.
Mm.
There is no such thing as bird flu.
Hmm.
There isn't. There has been nobody die from that. All right? But they're working on making a vaccine. When they get the vaccine, the flu will show up.
Mm.
Because everybody is expecting that experience. And when we put out that energy in mass numbers, you get what you ask for.
Mm.
And if that's what you're expecting, that's what you're going to get.
What other components of this to lay the framework for people before we get into some of the how you and your clinic, how you work with this and how we work from a medical standpoint? But what are some other components, whether it's family, history, DNA? What other pieces do you want to bring out at this point?
Well, I think there's all these pieces that it's like a puzzle. You got to sort of put it together. There are things in the family, so part of that runs through the DNA. But there are other things in the family, these ancestral ties that aren't DNA. They're energetic ties to your DNA. And then the homeopaths describe what are called miasms. These are energetic things that are run within families. And they are started, which is very interesting, by pandemics.
Mm.
So the big one, tuberculinum. When there was so much tuberculosis around, that became a miasm. It's an energy of itself, the canal attached to your DNA.
Hmm.
It doesn't, well, energetically it affects your DNA, but it affects your whole body, and it does that through your etheric field. But it's another one of those energetic pieces that drags along and starts to attach to you. So then we all have these energetic attachments passed to our family, friends, relatives. We have things that we've brought through with us. So we have those to deal with. So you've got a lot of issues that you've got to sort of look at and say, okay, for you at this point, number one, what are the biggest issues that you can deal with? So you sort of have to start there.
Mm. It's really fascinating you just mentioned the miasms, because just a week ago I was speaking with one of my colleagues and friends of mine here in San Francisco who's a homeopath, and she just told me about this concept for the first time. And I just heard her lecture about a week ago. Her name's Edie Pfeiffer. And so it's, you know, and homeopaths, my understanding is, have known this for a while, and they use a type of energy medicine called homeopathic medicines to help. And she said that they see really wonderful results working with people from working with those family miasms. So
right.
Very
those,
interesting.
Those are energetics. And homeopathy literally is the electromagnetic signature. It doesn't have molecules in it, but it's the electromagnetic signature that's in that bottle. And then when you take it, it affects you. And it's sort of interesting. Homeopathy affects you through your physical body and then up through a couple layers of your etheric field. But then when you start talking about flower essences, gem elixirs, vibrational essences, they go completely through your whole physical body plus the whole etheric field.
Hmm.
So you can, depending on where it is and what you want to get addressed, you can go at it with different things.
Wow. And let's talk about some of these systems or these medicines or that we do have in the mainstream that people may have heard about that they didn't really necessarily realize that they're energetic. So, for instance, I know a lot of people that have dabbled in homeopathy but didn't necessarily understand the concept. Is there anything?
Essentially, the information, the electromagnetic signature of what you're doing is held in that bottle. All right, and so a lot of homeopaths will have you tap it and then put it under your tongue, because then it goes in, because we have a lot of vessels under our tongues, the circulation is big, so it goes in quickly and through your whole body. All right, so you can do those that way. Now, then you have essential oils. Mm-hmm. Well, essential oils, you can rub those, your bottom of your feet are like a plan of your whole body, so when you put it over the bottom of your feet, it goes to every part of your body.
Hmm.
And they can do that in about 20 seconds.
Hmm.
So it's this energetics, and it's through pathways. When we think about, you hear about the chakras and the use acupuncture and acupressure on the meridians, all this energetic system is all interconnected down to the organs, to the cells.
Hmm.
So as you do things with this energy body that's around us and the surface of our body, it goes to every cell in your body.
Wow.
So you can literally impact everything. And that's why when you start hearing people talk about intention, I mean, when you think something, the power of that thought, and then you say it, you know, you now have created. And that's one of the neat things that I think when you look at religions and sort of what their beliefs are, a lot of them across the board, when they start talking about creation, that whoever the creator was said what he was going to create, and it was there.
Hmm.
So it's the intention plus the vocalization equals creation.
Hmm. Interesting.
So it's that energy.
So for people, by the way, that are just tuning in, you are listening to KPOO San Francisco, and we are on Reality Sandwich with Dr. John Hicks and Betsy Hicks, and talking about energy medicine. So...
And so let's speak now a little bit more about the body as an energetic organism and structure, and the significant difference in this approach of looking at it that way, by way of, you know, subtly affecting these influences and nurturing the body itself to restore health, versus a strictly sort of external, more traditional medical, put something in it to affect what's happening perspective.
All right. So each organ has its own energetic pattern. And what dis-ease is that energetic pattern starts to change. All right, so what caused that to start? Well, then you have to look back. Well, is there emotion that's there? Because all emotion is energy. And anger is a big thing that has to do with your liver. So a lot of people with liver disease have big anger issues. And so what's happening is that energy from that anger is starting to draw in other things and affect the energy in the liver itself. So now that energy of the liver starts to change. Its signature is not the same as what it should be. So energetically, you have now affected that. So then what you have to do is you have to go back and say, okay, what are the pieces here that I can do to support this liver while we really start to go after the energetic pieces. So then you get them on those things from a physical point of view that I'm going to support this body now while we really get and do the real work.
So you're looking at it from both perspectives, how to... Here we go. Here's the holistic piece. We're going to support it holistically in terms of physically the food you eat, the supplements or the nutrients in the system, whatever other physical things, as well as then looking at the energetic components and someone's thoughts and someone's emotions and all of those pieces.
Right, and spirituality is another big piece of that.
So, John, at Pathways, at your medical and holistic health center, what sort of... ailments, or what kind of work are you doing there? What kind of people are you typically treating?
Well, it's mostly people with chronic illness. And most of the ones we see have been other places. They're not, things just aren't going the way they want them to go. They don't feel they're getting better. And then they talk to one of our patients, and typically patients refer other patients, and that's sort of how we get the people we get. We really don't advertise or anything. So it's word of mouth, essentially. But it's chronic illness. So we see chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia. We see patients
autism.
With seizures,
so,
autism.
That's how we started with
yeah.
autism.
I mean, ADD, the whole gamut, schizophrenics, bipolars, anything.
Hmm.
I mean, it's looking at it differently, so it really doesn't matter what the diagnosis is to us, because those are just words put on a stick of paper, so you got a code to put on it that has really nothing to do with what's going on with the person.
And do you see different types of patients now? In other words, do they have a different outlook on life or a different outlook on their health, or how do these people that you attract now differ from maybe the types of patients you saw towards the beginning of your career when you were doing traditional medicine?
Oh, it's very different. I mean, the people now really have more of an open mind. They're more open to what it is that we're offering.
That's a great question, Julie, and I'm going to interject also for that too, because I've talked to John about this for long periods of time, about the difference in our patients now. The ones that have reclaimed their life, who had lost control, who had lost functioning, who had just really were hopeless, and it's not just the patients, it's also because we see so many children as well, so it's the whole patient's family, and they have such more of this kind of medicine changes you forever. Because for one, you stop believing everything that you're told on television. Because let's face it, the majority of people get their nutritional advice from TV and you know, articles that are supported by manufacturers trying to tell you something's healthy or not. Soy is the perfect example of that. So a lot of our patients, you know, they come out of this really knowing that they have to be an advocate in their own health. They have to start taking it seriously and know that there is no magic bullet. There is no one way to get through any of this. You have to do this for a lifetime. You know, John and I were doing yoga the other day, and we had been so busy, and we stopped doing yoga for like a month. And we came back doing it, and it was hard to get back on board. And it was interesting because I said to him, I said, so many people will say, how long do I have to take care of my health? like there's going to be an end to it. Like, I only have to exercise for a couple months, and then I'll never have to exercise again.
Right.
It's the same philosophy. It's ongoing. It never ends. And that's something that we really work to condition in our patients.
Well, and then trying to empower them to realize, number one, they are the masters of their own destiny. And they get to choose. And you can make any choice you want, and you can make it happen. So, I mean, that's really the piece to me, is now people are becoming more and more open to that and saying, okay, what is it I need to do? Because it is what you need to do. It's you heal yourself. Nobody heals you. And we have that healing power within us.
is, of course, the most powerful thing and also, I suppose, the most difficult thing to first come to grips with, because then no one's going to do it for us. It's not necessarily what we want to hear.
Right.
Well, yeah, that's that whole disempowerment piece. You know, you're going to have to take this pill. You're going to have to let us do this to you instead of here's something you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we want the magic bullet.
Right.
Well, and certainly now with this new film coming out by Michael Moore about the healthcare industry, there hopefully is serving a tremendous accelerant in the minds of the masses out there to bring more of that attention back to themselves and self-directedness. I mean, we certainly know that when people themselves are making these choices, that's really the only model by which a behavior is going to be sustainable. We don't like doing or implementing what somebody else told us to
right.
do. And when we can get ourselves much more involved in that process, we know that it's going to be more effective on our health. I mean, we've known for years that people who believe that they affect what happens in their life more so than internal locus versus external has significantly higher correlation to health and recovery from illness, as are optimists more healthy and recover more from illnesses. So we know these things, and now we're branching that out far more into our understanding of these energetic components, and clearly people are slowly waking up to that.
I just wanted to say one little, you were talking earlier about the things that we think and the things that we say have power. And again, this is something that's very exciting and powerful and also a little terrifying for those of us who don't do a very good job at that. And I know that for myself, one of the hardest things was to really realize that I do have an influence, because then I have to accept the fact that somehow I might have been sort of responsible for where I am right now. And there's this big component of guilt or responsibility that makes it difficult to do. So I want to just say something that really helped me when I had to get past that, which is good thoughts and good things you do for yourself have far more power than all the bad ones. So if you notice yourself doing all of these patterns that aren't working for you, instead of what I would find myself doing is, I'm noticing this negative pattern, and then I would go into beating myself up knowing that I was creating more problems for myself in the moment. So I try to then see, okay, all of these things are my old patterns and they're there, but for every good one that I do, I negate a whole bunch of the bad ones that I might unconsciously be doing. So put that out there for people.
Right. And then, I mean, there's other things that can help you with that. You can do EFTs. There's a lot of other energy things you can do that sort of help you release those things.
Mm.
But I think another important piece is yesterday doesn't really matter. And time doesn't count. There is no time.
Mm.
You know, man's made time.
Mm.
You know, so we say, well, you know, tomorrow at 9 a.m. Well, what is that? That's just some time that we put out there. So as you become enlightened, as you become aware, you can change things instantaneously.
Mm.
Because there is no time.
Right.
So yeah, you were falling into this, you were doing this, that doesn't matter. You know, pick it up from today and say, okay, this is where I want to be, and now I'm going to focus on this.
Mm, yes.
And then that's what starts to change the energy, that starts to bring you what you really want.
One of my friends taught me this little thing of begin again now. And so if I keep saying that to myself, okay, well, I'm just going to begin again now. And now, then
right.
That I find is very, very helpful.
Yep.
That's great.
So how do we begin to help people to make these shifts, the shifts from wherever disturbing patterns they may be in now to a more empowering perspective? How do we help shift this inner component of them that is all powerful?
Well, number one, you have to become aware of what it is you're thinking. So now you have to start becoming mindful and think, oh, gee, I just thought that. Now, is that something I really want? Is that something I want to be thinking about? And as you just sort of let your thoughts go and you go, okay, that's a great thought. I think I'm going to stick with that for a little while. And then something comes in that's not so great, and you go, ah, it's not so great. I think I'll let it go, and just let it go.
Well, I think what Martin's saying a lot, too, is you know, if, correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, how do you get proactive on your own health, and what's the steps to take towards that? And, you know, no matter where you are, there is someone there who can help you, and not necessarily in your city or your town, but with the power of the Internet and the phone, and such, there's always somebody that you can get help from. The question is, how do you know if they're the right person for you? And this is something that I think we've kind of touched on a little bit. It's kind of following your own intuition. And you have to start trusting where your guides, you can call it your guides, you can call it your angels, you could just call it, you know, your gut, whatever you want to call it. But you are guided to go towards the direction you need to go in. My favorite scene of that was in the movie Bruce Almighty, the first one, and he was driving down a street, and he kept screaming to God, which direction am I supposed to go in? And then he'd pass a wrong way sign, and then he'd pass a yield sign, and he kept asking the question over and over again. He just wasn't looking at the sign. And, you know, I'll have patients that'll call me sometimes, and they're led to us, and I'm being told before they come to us as a patient, they'll say, I'm just being told so many things, I don't know who to believe. And I say, who do you believe? You know, forget what anyone tells you or what do you feel in your own intuition? Oh, I'm not intuitive. Well, yes, you are. Everybody's intuitive. Every man, woman, child is intuitive. And you just have to get into that. And if you feel like, in your gut, this is what I got to do, then that's what you got to do, because that's where your belief system is going to start.
I have a personal experience that works for me, is that if I hear something two or three or four times, and then I know, aha, I've learned now.
Yes.
That, okay, something. So now I've heard the miasms thing for the second time, and I'm not quite so dense these days, so I'm going to follow up on the miasm thing instead of waiting for the fourth one.
I'll tell you right now. Hey, Julie, you might want to check out the miasm thing.
Yeah, there you go. So that's really great. And so for people, you mentioned EFT, so I just want to mention this because I like this one as well. There's all sorts of great websites you can get started with EFT really easily if you go online. There are free videos and free guidebooks or, you know, workbooks and things, as well as practitioners that do it. And it's, long story short, it's a very simple, very short process that you can do any time that sort of taps on the meridian points to help release things and emotions that are stuck or stored that are creating challenges for you. So that's a really emotional freedom technique for people out there who want to look into that one.
And the fascinating thing here is, I just kind of getting back to what we were speaking about at the very beginning, because as people are listening to this show, and they're hopefully most of our listeners are fairly open-minded and curious about all this and just soaking all up, but others may still be saying, oh, it's a little bit out there for me, or woo-woo for me. Well, you know, in there, meaning in that box, is a very, very small little place of, you know, a strictly narrow perspective on health and healing that we're finding isn't really working for so many people in a broader context. So, and the thing is, even science now is realizing that, what, 90-something percent of illness has emotional connections in some regard? So there's so much fascinating arena for study and curiosity here, and so many avenues for personal intervention that all of which can only be positive and helpful. There can be no downside to any of this.
Right.
I have a question for you, and probably one of our last questions here to wrap up in the next 5 minutes. You have a child with autism, and a lot of our listeners have a child on the autistic spectrum. Any experience, thoughts of directions they might want to go, or how energy impacts them that might be helpful?
Well, a lot of that's going to depend on the individual child. There's a lot of basic biochemical stuff that you need to get in shape. But I think for Joey, his biggest improvements came when we started doing the vibrational and really going after the energetic pieces. And working with a medical intuitive, I sort of get a different, very different perspective of, okay, this is something we need to think about now. He can handle this now. Now, energetically, we've got to go after this. So for Joey, he was one of those that really the biomedical pieces did not much for him. The diet was the biggest thing that helped him a lot. But other than that, he couldn't handle any of the other biomedical pieces until we started energetically going after what was going on with Joey. So,
and energy, in my experience and understanding, is pretty powerful for these kids. They're pretty sensitive, and they respond really well. Is that your experience?
They're very sensitive. Yeah.
They're very sensitive to the chemical toxins as well.
Right. They're just very sensitive to everything.
Yeah, right.
So the power of intention, the toxins, the environment, people's thoughts, people's ideas, their own thoughts and ideas, and they're energetically, it's like some of them are in this eggshell that keeps feeding in to them saying you are autistic when they're not so autistic and they need to break out of that shell. So the only way to do that is energetically. You can't do that through pills or chelation or any of that stuff.
Well, anything in our, before we wrap up, firstly, any last thoughts?
I think in talking about the autism, as our son Joey is John's stepson, so I was with him in a time that Joey was a lot worse than when John came on board. I think as any parent that's listening, I strongly feel, like almost on a spiritual end, that these kids are coming to teach us something. And sometimes it's not just one thing. I mean, sometimes there's a lot of things that they're here to teach us. God knows that if it weren't for Joey, we wouldn't have Pathways. John and I wouldn't even be married. And, I mean, there's just the gifts from Joey were just absolutely amazing and never-ending. But we have to, if we don't look at the gift and if we don't take the lessons that we're supposed to learn, you're just going to either, number one, you're not going to see improvement in your child, and or number two, they may come out of it in one realm but enter it in another. In other words, we have to, you know, a lot of these kids are teaching us our environment is a mess. We need to fix it. Our medical system is a wreck. We need to fix it. And we have to, as a society, start shifting that paradigm for these kids to stop getting so sick.
Wow. Well, thank you. How can people find out more about you?
You want me to answer, John?
Sure, go ahead. You're doing very well.
Oh, thank you. he can only keep me quiet for about 10-minute intervals. That's it. Our website is pathwaysmed.com, pathways with an S, med.com. And you can check out our website, although we're going through a lot of changes on our website right now. We're soon to be more holistic on our website. It's somewhat conventional right now. And if you need to reach Dr. Hicks directly, you can email me, not because I'm the controlling wife, but because he doesn't have an email. So I will promise you that I will give him the message, and my email address is Betsy, B-E-T-S-Y, at pathwaysmed.com.
Great.
We want to thank you both for sharing your experiences with us today and being on the show. And it's always our intention here at Reality Sandwich to provide deeply insightful information to empower our listeners and their personal paths for health. And we want to thank you both for sharing.
Well, thank you.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to KPOO San Francisco. We are Reality Sandwich. I'm Julie Matthews here with Martin Matthews. You can find out more about us and our services at healthfulliving.org. And you can get this show and any past shows at realitysandwichradio.com. And one more site, if you want any more information about autism and other information on children, you can go to my book and my blog at nourishinghope.com. Thanks for listening and stay tuned every Thursday at noon for Reality Sandwich.